Peter, good morning.
Oh, hi.
How are you going?
Good.
Now, this nanoscience stuff, it's very complicated. What exactly is it?
Well, it's really about a world way, way down at the millions of a billions of a meter. If you can get your head around that. I'm somewhat bemused looking at the kerfuffles going on in Canberra. Just think of anybody sitting on those seats is aware of the sort of bacteria that they're depositing.
and the Not zoo just that's on the go- seats, I'm going to show
and
you
the
that.
The zoo that's going on, the bacterial zoo that's going on in the Parliament House, etc. But also within those individuals themselves, these complex processes which they're not even aware of. So always bemused to look at that and think, my God, do they know what's going on way, way, way down there?
Well, they don't know what's going on in this world. I don't know how they can know what's going
on
there.
Well, we're beginning to get a handle on this anyway. And it's very exciting. Yep.
Yeah. What are some of the measures? You mentioned there the millions and billionths of a meter.
Yeah.
What are some of the measurements that you're dealing in here?
Well, it's not exactly me, but there's a nanoscience centre at University of Sydney, which are working in the area of nanoscience. It's a very big area, but also in the US, they're really gone big, and they have a project using X-ray lasers, and they're able to sort of image individual molecules for the first time. So it's just stunning what's going on. But
is that the smallest thing that you can see with the current technology?
Yes, it is. Yeah. When you say you can see it, it gets a bit more complicated. You actually have what's called a diffraction pattern, and from that you are able to reconstruct the image, and therefore come to this understanding of things like the way photosynthesis works, which we've never really got a head around, or things like vision, which is not just something that we've got a handle on, but animals as well and other creatures. So that's just some of the areas of which are now unfolding, but it's really a very exciting. We talk about big science. This is huge.
Yeah, wow.
Massive.
Now, with this tiny world, how you can't possibly see it. How did you sort of get involved in it?
Well, I saw it one day. No, I'm a lab physicist, actually.
Right.
And I worked in this area originally, and my colleagues in the US, my contemporaries, are involved in this in a significant way. It's at Arizona State University. But the project in the US is funded through DOE and National Science Foundation. It's a $1 billion study. It involves Cornell, New York University, John Hopkins University, and the University of Gothenburg, Hamburg University, and just goes on and on.
All across the
world. So this is just something, maybe something the Chinese might like to get their hands on at some stage, because it's very much a Western technology development. Right.
Okay. Now, can you tell us about molecular manufacturing and what that entails?
Well, I'd like to try, but it's very difficult to get your head around. But you could actually, through what's known as catalyst effects, begin to manipulate these sorts of processes. There's a fair bit of controversy associated with that and how much we should mess with this world.
Mm. Now, there's that whole question that often comes up with a lot of these sort of science, you know, these scientific experiments that are on the vanguard there, that we might be playing God. By creating these molecules, are we playing God? Once they're created, they can't disappear, can they?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. If we have in place, I mean, I think all these sorts of developments are very exciting and they can be turned to extraordinary good.
Yeah.
But there are inevitably some downsides. And when we start to mess, I suppose, at this scale, we can't be exactly sure of what the consequences might be if things should go wrong. We already have at the large scale what's known as toxicology testing. So we can test things. We can have product stewardship where we can examine what happens to a product in its afterlife. I mean, you can see them lying around waste transfer centres and stuff like that.
Right.
But in this area, no, it's really something very new. I think the issue in an environmental sense is what happens to some of these nanoparticles put in things like paints and cosmetics and so forth. These are very, very small things, and we just have not got around to regulating them.
Right.
And because they're way, 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 way down in that world, there's not really a political constituency for doing anything about this in the way that there is if you see smog on the horizon, or you see
a lot more visual,
or you see waste on beaches. To mobilise the political process to do something about this is very difficult. But hopefully we'll get our head around some of these things in a not-too-distant future.
Yeah. Now, nanotechnology and those nanosciences, as you're talking about, they open up a lot of opportunities, not just in science, but also things like business in medicine.
Yes, they do. Yes,
yeah. What sort of things are we sort of working on there?
New blood pressure drugs, even understanding vision processes, being able to have nanobots, which are kind of like molecular workhorses that you can inject into the body and have them eventually maybe undertake surgery and stuff like that. So there's all these sorts of things that are on the horizon. The X-ray laser, which is in US, in California, Livermore, there's now, that's about a kilometre long to accelerate these X-rays. It's possible now to scale it down, to get it a sort of a lab scale.
Right.
That means that there are some discussions taking place to build at least one of these machines in Australia, Europe and other places.
Right, okay. Now, what are the implications of the increased focus in this scientific field? Is it likely to deliver some sort of major scientific breakthrough?
Oh, absolutely. If you can just think about photosynthesis is the process which has actually led to, in fact, just about all the oxygen, the air we breathe.
Hmm.
So if you can start to understand that process, you can then begin to get a much finer understanding of the way life works on the planet, and with feedback into things like climate change.
Yeah.
So, look, this process is it's $1 billion US against it. There is a Conversation article, which your listeners might like to go to, called,
yeah.
Well, if you just Google Small World, Does Ecology Reach All the Way Down to the Subatomic Scale?
Yeah, we've got that, and we will put the link of that on our website.
Put the link up.
Yeah.
You can follow through on some of these things. The thing about this world down at the billions or millions of the scale is that it's not a world where common sense prevails. Yeah, I mean, I know that you guys are pretty good, but you haven't yet managed to be in two places at once.
Not yet.
And so but it works. I mean, that's the thing. It's
crazy
stuff, but it works.
As I guess, so much of this stuff.
You'll see that in atomic clocks. You'll begin to see it in quantum computers. You're already seeing some of that stuff in just simple everyday stuff with computers. So it works,
yeah. But
it doesn't make a hell of a lot of sense.
It's all super, super interesting. Peter Fisher, thank you so much for joining us today on The Daily.